This morning, shall we turn to Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 12. The Gospel of Luke chapter 12. We begin to read from verse 16 to 21 for our Gospel this morning. Gospel of Luke chapter 12, from 16 down. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruit? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. This morning, this parable that Christ told his disciples, I want us to reflect through with this subject in mind. Fatal life policy, policy of life which is fatal. And upon the American said, yes, Christo, a car, a parable will change his year for. Now, but see, again, sir, I said, we have found, sir, but I am, nobody is in this war, a bravo moa, a year, a say, a decor, a say, and I say, a woman. And if you can remember when we did this reading, we started, if you go back up to, I think, from verse 13, remember that he said that, and one of the companies said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. So he gave this parable in answer to a question that somebody asked concerning a property. And the Lord, by this, warned his disciples about sin of covetousness. And that's what we are going to think about it, the sin of covetousness, and that's what we think to the subject of fatal life policy. And yet, can you say, no, yes, Christo, Omo Kona, Obia, come where Kono, Ibisa, Nakacha, and say, Yesu, Kacha, Minia, no, only mean Che, Japadiano. Now, Yesu, Obi Nano, no, the two in his young wonderful, a fire, a nibri, sir, Nipa, a corner, and I say, Nipa didn't hold to, if you are sober, we are saying, Yoma, ah, a minia. But over caution, what if you say be a woman and not be a man at all? So, we don't know the inheritance this man was talking about. We don't know if his brother have cheated him or he wanted more than his portion of the inheritance. We don't know. But by what Christ answered him, I'm sure, I mean, he was at fault. Or else, he just wanted to let him know that even if it's about things of the world and they have cheated you, you don't need to bother so much about it, but think of that which you have after that, whichever way we don't know. So in response to such a question, such an inquiry, the Lord said, the Lord's answer make us know that our soul's happiness and comfort does not depend on plenty of worldly wealth we may acquire. There is, so as you are not the master, any power we know, and my to me, yes, you are there, and yet we are saying your mother to a bina, and on your crown, any jewel. If you look at verse 16, verse 15, he said that take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Okay, so our life, even our temporal life, does not depend on the things which we possess. Those things cannot keep us in a second. If we are at the point of death, whatever property, whatever name we have made in this world cannot keep us. It's only God that keeps life. And the bigger picture, when after death, when you stand before God, when your soul has to go and stand before Him, whatever we have in this world cannot help us to, go and meet our Savior. And you know, as I said, after the Lord gave a parable to teach them the lesson, and also to demonstrate the vanity and the soul damning nature of sin of covetousness. And as I said, covetousness, some people think that it's about somebody cheating people to make himself rich, but it's not only that. I think it's excessive and inordinate desire for worldly things. Yes, I might use lawful means, but I just want them. And I think that's where my happiness lies. It's where the fault lies. Not actually, yes, somebody can use false means to get more riches, which is not right. But the just idea in my mind, I just want to get more things so that I'll be happy in life, is hand to covetousness. So in concerning this subject, we shall bring it under two parts. The first is, what is meant by fatal life policy? As a subject I want to talk about. And also, God's notice and judgment of such policy of life. You know that everybody in life has aim, has purposes, and things that he is pursuing. And whichever one we take, God is the judge of it all. Even if we don't judge ourselves right, God is the judge of us all. So God is the judge of all creation. So what is meant by this fatal life policy? Firstly, is to be eager and concerned with excessive desire after the things of this world. As I said before, that getting more wealth in itself is not sinful. Only it is required of us, to help us, meet proper needs. But if it's just the idea of getting it without any restraint, just getting it, that's where the sin of covetousness lies. So we can think of money, properties, fame, whatever, things of the world, you might name it. These things are not sinful in itself, but our desire for an excessive and inordinate desire of them, that's where the covetousness lies. So why is this excessive and eager concern makes the covetous? Because he that sets his affections on things will love them more than he will love his fellow man. He cannot, whoever loves things of the world so much, cannot really love his fellow man. Look at the state of our nation today. For instance, go to the hospitals. Nowadays, some nurses and doctors, because of the love of money, look at how they treat patients. In years before, the profession was for to help humanity. Look at how the care and the work they were doing. One surgeon wants to finish one surgery quickly to do, and because he wants more money. One nurse wants to finish and do. So, it's all over. And it has affected even those who have to care for, those who are in need. And when you are sick, you go to the hospital. They don't care even whether you are, they will just shout at you. They don't care whether that person needs care or not. You see, because they think of the money. And even the hospitals itself, now it's all about money. Okay, so this is where covetousness is taking us as a nation, as individual. And also, some teachers also, what are they doing nowadays? They just enter into the profession for money and getting more money, that is it. Traders, what is happening now in our marketplaces? I bought it at this price. I want to have the high profit. I want to get the opportunity to sell it more than what I have had. Sin of covetousness, because nobody knows how much I'm making. I'm making it, and I'm telling lies even about it. It's sin of covetousness. Our farmers also, what is happening? Excessive use of chemicals, and people are dying out of it. They don't care who eats the food. It's sin of covetousness. They want to get more money. They want to get more product and sell. Our landlords, what is happening in Accra? Exorbitant rent and unnecessary, troubling of people. See, all these things comes out when people have desire for more of worldly things. So that is the love for the fellow man comes down. So you see, the Bible warning us against the sin of covetousness, and whether we are Christians or not, it's a true fact. And any nation that, raises the desire for wealth, unnecessary wealth and other things, that's where we get to. The air can say, yes, sir, when you pay more, you are saying your more. A door, you see a doma, your woman in Miano, a few home. If we say, oh, yeah, baby, I want to be in this kind of offense, and for sure, I'll be in a few. Now, because the doctors, they are a course with like NSC. If we say, oh, be a person, you can't know, I'm going to share, I'll for you. Professor, you will not quite from no news canton. A first teacher as well, a business officer or child of Yanisika, in front of Hosan Kalibu, who are there no moon. ye bi so fa e fa e bi mutse bi a o ma edi dwan so a o to ade e fa so bi bi a eno eno odwin o fa ho se bi osisi obi a na o osisi obi e na e ka se kwafo po no e na o mo de ndrogo mo fi dia ba so e fo mo de hia so benya no ban de bre na ntika e boto ma do so se be kuni pastor kuni ban fo obi a ho de ka dan rafo na sa se rafo so a kra obi anim je ko so e bi se sika nti no obi a agi rent up e na as I said, I'm going to turn because of his heritage. And this is where covetousness is taking us as a nation. And also, it will be difficult to have pity for the suffering of the poor, lest if that covetous man have a concern for the poor person, he has to help him with part of his booty or his wealth. So he wouldn't do that. So you see, where sin of covetousness and desire for more of it leads us to. Secondly, it is to think that man has absolute will. You can get this one from the text we just had. From verse 17 to 18. Look at what the rich man said. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my food." And he said, "This will I do. I will put down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my food and my goods. I will." That's the word. I will do this. I will do this. That is what he thinks. He has the will to do what he pleases. I will do this. I will do that. Because he has, by his own strength, he has gotten many, produce from his farm. And by his own strength, he wants to just store it for his own happiness. He supposed that he has power to do whatever he pleases. Say, I will. But if you read now, you see how God thwarted his willpower. God owns absolute power. And the man said, "I will." God said, "Thou fool." The man said, "I will do this. I will do it." God said, "Thou fool." But when you think of this man, are there not many among us who are like this, who plan for their lives as if the power of life is in their hands, as if to live is their own? The other kind of say, "I did my own story." Can say, "Say, nipa the fool say." On our pet, so person with your Oyabia. If you say, Oshes can you say, on one in your barber, on one when ya, and you also per se, on one in a pet, a share in sir. And you can say, on only per share in sir, and go for chair and say, Nipper to me, a war, and to me, go, baby, sir. Now go chair is on what you mean, I can say, Oquasia. And I drove my joke crave you, sir. So this is how God sees who stands and says, I want to do what I please. And Neyaka said, and if I be I will travel, I will marry, I will buy, I will build, I will do this and that. But God is not in all their thoughts. The psalmist says that's the mind of the wicked person. God is not in all his thoughts. Whether it pleases God, no. I want to do it because I have my money. I want to do this. I have my money. I want to live this kind of life. Nobody should talk about it. I want. That's what I want. That's what, it's a common practice among us these days. But we must know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You see, who said, "Nipan kasana kwain, any onu animu, say onu abetu tuna kwain, that will be." Man proposes, God disposes. Nipa, as you share in your mind, you have to come to me. Sure, say, "In your problem, you have to be brave. I see your problem." So, and yeah, there are different crime. And the worst are the many who think that repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is their own to decide. That's the worst portion. When it leads to this, then the man is getting to doom. Sir, the end of crime is a nipa to me, being said, and mra, my sacrifice, born at home. Na madi me de mi re me je di ashe Kristo mu no ashe mi aminsa it make me abon pra America kra edu be bia na me ja bon na ma ba Kristo and dada sana sa ni pa ni pe no ashe ninsa o person o che like Phyllis, they think that there will be a more convenient time for them. You see, when Paul stood before Felix and Paul made him know that he's a sinner and the judgment, there's going to be a judgment, he trembled and he said that, "Go thy way for this time. At a more convenient, I'll call for thee." Felix, and who's poor man, Felix, who said, "Why the boy any? A temple of hope." And Felix didn't know, or so they'll cock a crack. And Mira, the pen, my friend, no about you. Did Felix ever have that time? No. Felix thought he was the governor. He had the power. But where did the power lead him? He never sought salvation. The can is there. Tell my poor John Felix the name, or Cassan, poor my Felix himself, or the boy any. I think goes to our channel. Now, Felix says, I'm going away. Now, come out 2 years. Now, come out 2 years. No, I said, call Kakra, and Mira, me, I'm a penal, my fro. Neka said, Emre, and Babuana, I'm Babu. I am so my. That we don't have time in time when you talk of repent. Yes, in this world we think we have time to do some things we want, and I mean our wills are given up. But when it comes to repentance and faith, it's not in our hands to do that. Why? Look at our life. In James tells us that for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Our lives is like a vapor. Let me just last week, one of our Sunday school children. The previous week, even I spoke to her. She was healthy. I asked her of his brother, for her brother who was not coming. The next week, Sunday, she's dead and gone. And we were amazed. That is how life is. We are like, we just passes. A healthy 11-year-old girl, she's gone. And that is all how life is about. But people think that they have so much time. Repentance is a joke. No, I love my sin. I want to continue my sin. Yes, I'll attend church. I'll do my part. I'll maybe give my tithe and I'll sing praises. But my sins, I'll still keep it. It's not in our hands to decide on that. It's not in our hands. The word of God always tells us that, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Any day we hear the gospel, any day we hear Christ died on the cross, he shed his blood for sinners. If I'm a sinner, I have to run to him. If I have not repented, I have to come. It could be my last day. It could be my last day to live on this earth. The young can say, send the pardon perfection in San Marcos said, me and I meet me and your man. To me, a coma, to me, say, I dare say, Nipa to me, a castle, oh, I dare mess a car again, if you born at home. Nama fa is Christian Semicardian, Quano. Oh, maybe I could shake a crack. And now, you can say, Jim Chair said, Nipa, oh, what to say. Nipa own quite a saying, but Bible just a young quite to say, only idea who never paper. A passage are not Iraq. When I mean you so a crab alcoa last week at this school, we know about Sunday school. The previous week, Menina Kasai, let me be sending you about Grahoma. The week you buy is we go. And I'm because I'm in your young quite here, not James O'Connor. You put me out, I know Chanel. And now, Bible to catch us, young quite here, dear. I tell you, I better say. Yeah, can't and find say Christopher worship the Mojabu or Calvary. Sir, the boy in was all born in chain, which sacra had been few born home, not with Jesus anymore. So, himself wouldn't hear ya, also Janiba, Christo in chain. And no, I bet me that Bakupa was as you so. That's as I had any Kimua. And then I'll be. This word is from God. God who has power to destroy both body and soul. Remember, Jesus Christ told, his disciples that they should not be afraid of those who destroy this body. But they should be afraid of God who can destroy both body and soul in hell. But how careless do people think of God? How careless do people think of his warnings? God who knows the soul damning nature of sin has called upon all to repent and to come unto him. Because he knows also the damning nature of hell to the soul of man. So I'll move to my next point. The next thing we think is that it is when, fatal life policy is when to think that a man's life is in his own, is his own, and thereby he lives for himself. There's one where it says that I will do this. But this one, my life is mine, and I live myself. If you look at the verse, from verse 16 now, you notice this verse, my bands, my goods, my fruits, and even my soul. That's what the man is saying. All is my. He seems to say that I am the owner of all I possess. He forgot that whatever he has belongs to God, and it's a loan to him. Even his very life, one day to be taken from his hand. Even if I get riches while I live on this earth, I might lose one day. I can lose all the riches. We know many who have been in that situation. Or my life itself can be lost, and the riches will be left for others to just mess it up. So why do I rest my hopes on these things and thinking that my life is in my hands? Psalm 24, verse 1 says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. We are seeing here any year to so yanku. We are just giving us stewards to live in this world. And one day we shall be out of this place. We cannot live forever. And what about you two? What do you think? Do you know that your life and whatever you have is owned to you? It has been borrowed to you. And that one day you go and give account of yourself. This man said, my bonds, my goods, my food, and even my soul. The other kind of say, Sir Abrabo Ebutaya at the course say no, and not Bakwa Yeshen say, Sir Nipa Baka Fu said Nimkwan as an Abrabo and I said Nimkwa one idea. Nega say you shall papaya or say me and pata my dear su my dame Jani Bagum Mindiane ma Mindiani also and then Yanga Samikra or send me a cra. Neka so jeans on wa bibia edia. The refi say Nimkwampuno ya media a femin. The beer will be a femin. Na ye cancer Psalm 24 verse 1 so asase su nya eh nyamedia munyo manya na ye ne yeti su nya yankopon dia na mi bisa se unsu ni msa na se unkwa no nyamedia chew and that kono unsu ubakwa ko yia no ni mu ana se mesimo na sem no eba ye a o ka sasaka wadwen fatisto fire o ka je unkwa ni mu ja no bechugu e o ka bare ma bon no unsu ko no ho ana na wa nya ku sia na be anu ye ba na be ma no It is He that made us and not we ourselves. God made us. He made us. And it is, I think our world that we live today seems that we have a lot of technology. So people think that we seem to support God to support our life. That is what sometimes we think. But it's not so. Whatever advancement man has been in this world today, none can keep a speck of life. Look at this COVID that came. If God should allow that, it should continue to kill. Who can stand? No one. Remember how God did in Egypt. Many calamity that befell them. Who was able to stand them? Pharaoh himself was uprooted. He couldn't stand it. So it is with our lives. That man today is no different from many that have come and gone. But let's think further. How many of us think of gain and enjoyment of worldly pleasures more than God's worship, honor, and fear? This is not just about life alone. Ye musana ye dwen say ye dwen wo ewiase enye we benya ene ewiase ene die say ehunhia say Yakobon ne sompa Yakobon suro ene Yakobon ne onyam. How many of us in our heart in our lips sometimes we will profess to say yes, we love God, we worship him, but in deep in our heart most people chase after things. They love the things of this world. God's worship is nothing. So we know that from Sunday to Saturday, all they think about is how to get gain to live in this world. The issue of God is nothing. The purpose that God has made us to come to this world is nothing to most people. They think that it's only on Sundays we go and worship, we do something, then we are gone. They can say, "Ni pastor is I drink." And we say, if we are seeing you, maybe you are seeing your minister, this true, and then you are seeing your minister, you are seeing your minister. And then you are seeing your minister, and then you are seeing your minister. If we say, if we are seeing your minister, you 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 are Emerson ya dwen ho ema ye da chi si fi asase so a de ya kra e bi be ko Emerson ya dwen ho ana many things that their lives are for them and they can choose to live as they please. So as I said, what will be your answer when you appear before God, you who have taken to yourself that your life is yours? We will all one day answer before him. Prayer, sense of indebtedness to God, awareness of his presence is all for Sunday morning. Is that not what our world is turning nowadays? All that I need to do is Sunday morning, I come to church, and that is all. Prayer is not from Monday to Sunday. Even if I pray just some 3 minutes when I wake up from bed, and does God want such kind of life to live? No. And how we owe everything to God, how much do we think of that? If we even think of it at all. So, we move on, and then many move on like this in life, and at the end they are gone. As I said about the girl, she's now no more. If it was you and I, what would be our answer when we appear before God? It could be you and I also. So we move to our third point when we think through about life fit up policy. It is to think that man has no higher purpose than the acquisition of material things. So you papa being said, oh Abraboy Mudi here and say many we are saying many and one here. Na much me trust na my jimini and one here. They say no so yeah, idea Abrabo Butaya and they call Nipako saying. Look at verse 19. The man said that, I will say to my soul, so thou hast made much goods laid out for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. This is the purpose of life. You have worked so much, you have enough. I mean, even if the people still serve, you still have enough. Don't bother yourself. Just enjoy. You don't know what, I mean, many think these days. Enjoy your life. Don't let anybody sit on your happiness. Don't even bother if people speak against you. Just enjoy your life. And just make things, work hard, make money, and live your life. That is what people think these days. That's also. The kind of say, papaya or skinny or the original home beyond the set. Or send a crab. Oh, I didn't know I grace ye. And then a crab, they're untornable, non genie, non digital, non engine, and one on the bravo. And I'm guessing if I ever bring a tears, I used to my grace to sign a room. I'm sure so, you bring a new man, you're 12, you're a genie, you know, and only a bravo. But does the soul need physical rest and material enjoyment? I suppose you say, you're crying, here we are saying, you and then basically, I want to be asking one. Is the soul satisfied with the body having enough to eat and to drink? You can't yet say, we see, you're bringing in no more, and only an edge of one. Is being happy with material possession the glory man lost from the fall? Samwa Adam and Eve, Omoya Bwane or Guide of Ready Mono. Naya Menji Omanu and Yam Fiom, and yet Yomubedi and Yomano and Yamiji Fiomosana. It's no. The soul originated from God, and it is in Him alone it can have true rest and happiness. Rest for the soul doesn't depend on anything in this world, but we deceive ourselves so many times. Until your soul is clothed with the righteousness which it lost, you have lost the purpose of life. Kofimbra and Yunyamua. Your papa, Adam, and your mom, Adam, we almost share what kind of freedom. And only yet, saying, yeah, if I'm going to meet you, I hope when you say, I'm going to be wrong. And only you and your mom, almost share it. Now, if I'm going to say, you know, I'm going to type here, this is what I'm going to do. It will not adapt to anything because until that glory is restored, whatever we gain in this life, we will leave them and go one day. So this glory, in Romans, we are told, we can have this glory. Romans chapter 3, 24 and 5. It says that, for I have sinned, he's talking about our nature, and come short of the glory of God. Yes, all of us, we have come short. We stand deficient of the glory of God. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being short of God's glory. God also graciously is a justified people by the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Therefore, when we are being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when we say, you're training, this is what God is telling us to think about. Until we have understood this, until we have believed this, and until this has saved us, this has saved our soul, our purpose in life is nothing. Let me read you some quotes. The person said that the body is but the husk or shell. Or say, the soul is a kennel. The body is by the barrel, the soul, the precious liquor containing it. As all day in containers a barrel is not and some or see barrel no a nipa crano and sana woman. Elsewhere also said that the soul, the body is like a ship, a vessel, the soul, the pilot. It's a wasting. So this body, what keeps our soul, our body is the soul. But we don't see this. So we think that, it's not significant, but that is the precious part of us. So that is why in Matthew chapter 16, 26, Christ said that, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What can a man give in exchange for his soul? It's a precious thing. But how less we think of our souls. The glory that the soul have lost in Adam. How do we think of that? How do we think of gaining our glory before God? Before this life ends for us. We only gain our souls when we are saved by Jesus Christ. When we have come to him for his forgiveness, for sin, and by faith in his blood. That is the only means we can have our souls liberated, our souls released, our souls redeemed from the bondage of sin and from the power of Satan and the world's influence. A quiet bit of We are just wasting our time. Quickly, let's look at our second point. That is the God's notice and judgment on such a fatal policy of life. The Yankupon, a kafa, ni pay na braba wafa, ene mesima na edineku, mesima ubu na ten wahu, ene diokai. Verse 20. But God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall this thing be which thou hast provided? Thou fool." Let me give you some illustration. I've read so many stories about Pompeii. Pompeii was a city in Rome. It's about 2,000 years ago. And it was destroyed by volcano ash. The whole city was buried. And it destroyed the whole city. I've read so many stories, and that the mountain is called Mount Vesuvius. But there's one thing that strikes me. There's one story that tells of a woman. Because when people are digging that place to see, so they can find people who have been shaped by the ash, and it's like people they have been sculptured, but they are reputable. So you can see them lying down, and it tells you at the moment of the what happened. There's one woman who, according to the picture, she's holding on to something like a treasure, and in her arms so tightly, but as long as she died. What I'm sure when the eating thing was happening, she was trying to keep her treasure from maybe people coming to steal, maybe some gold or precious thing, but herself died with the treasure. Is that not what most of us in this life we do? We keep on to the things of the world, and we die with it, and we are gone. Until our life has come into Christ. What fright will be at the final day of our death? According to the picture, the picture of the body shows so much frightened. She was so frightened by her face. It is printed on that body that's lying down there that you can see. You can see how she was so afraid, and yet she thought that the treasures ought to be kept by herself. Yourself, you cannot keep your own life, and yet you want to keep your treasure. So you see that God takes notice of man's life in regard to their souls. Look at all that the man did. God did not tell him that I'm taking your properties from you, which is very common of many teachings of the thing that what the devil is doing to us, or what is so evil in our lives, and when we lose properties, when we are sick, and when we are not well, that is where we have to think about. These are wrong teachings. What we have to be concerned about is our own soul. God took notice of his soul. He don't take away his properties. He took away his soul. That is what is precious. He's the judge. He said that this man is fool. The rich fool with his fatal life policy is to surrender his soul. He was called before God. What will be the answer? You don't own it. God says, "Tonight I will take your soul from you." The language teaches us how God dwells the spirit with such a life. And are we not having many in this life like that? Our soul is nothing. So long as we get food, raiment, and we have things that we need to live in this world. So, what was his punishment? The loss of his goods or his soul. It was his soul. God took notice not of his goods, but his soul, which he has destroyed. His soul, which he has given up to love the things that he owns.
But what is the soul? The soul is the real life of a person. The soul is the seat of all life purposes. The soul uses the mind and the will, the seat of feelings. Until I raise this hand from my mind, which is within my soul, that's where the idea comes from. I cannot just lift up my hand just out of thoughtlessly. The seat of all responsibility, it is the only permanent part of man. At death, this body will be buried. It will be dissolved. At the end of resurrection, it will be raised again. But this soul goes back to God who gave it. This soul doesn't, go into extinction at death. So the man is charged with foolishness because he lived only for the satisfaction of his body at the expense of his soul's happiness. Yes, and that is what God is, looking at. What are you living this life for? Is it for the happiness for your body, or the happiness for your soul? That's a question you ask for yourself. So in thinking about this man's foolishness, we think about even today too, the one who takes comfort in healthy body while his soul is starving is a fool. The one that is satisfied with his well-dressed body while his soul is not clothed with Christ's righteousness is also a fool. By what the word says, I'm not the one saying it. The one that prides himself on the beauty of his earthly dwelling while he prepares for himself no mansion in the world to come is also a fool. That's what the Bible is saying. This man had everything in this world, but never had anything in the world to come. That's the life of a foolish person. So how many are so wise in temporal things, but so foolish for things of eternity? People are so wise in this world. They are so wise in every matter, they can solve it. But the matters of their soul, how negligent they are. They know well how to trade and make profit, but they can exchange away their immortal soul for nothing. Isn't it not so sad? People can make business and make profit, but their soul, they exchange it for nothing. They exchange it for the things of this world, which neither hold it or keep it. They will have everything, but the soul is gone. So we learn how the rich fool projected the endurance growth of his goods and life. He thought, my goods, I'm storing it for lasting forever. My soul, eat and have you eat forever. How such a life ended? God took his soul away. And before him, where will he cast it? But, this man thought of tomorrow, but you and I, we may not see tomorrow. We are not sure of it. That's the only thing, that the reality of our life. I want to talk of life being taken out. People think that you are talking of, doom. And that's the reality of life. Who knows tomorrow? That's all you have to think about. Nobody knows that we shall have tomorrow. The present moment alone is what you have, you and I. And every moment you delay your repentance and faith in Jesus Christ for your soul salvation is fatal. Any moment if you are not saved, any moment if you have not gone to Christ for his redemptive, for him to forgive you of your sin and to give you a life that lives on to eternity. To be saved is not only to believe and have your sin forgiven you. When you believe and your sin are forgiven you, God confirms by giving you his Holy Spirit to make you his child, to make you live to please him. So the Holy Spirit comes to confirm that I'm saved. Many think that when I've confessed my sins and I believe in Jesus Christ in my mind, I'm saved. No. God sends his Holy Spirit to confirm. So it's a two-way thing. My sins are forgiven me. I'm giving the Holy Spirit to confirm it. So it is fatal because it will be too late to redeem your guilty soul when you stand at the day of judgment before God, the judge of all the earth. Yes, we shall all stand before, it's a teaching of scripture that we shall all stand before God, both young and old. Everybody, mother, father, sister, brother, everybody will stand before God. They say him, he said that what will be your answer to him? My soul, is it naked? Remember in Exodus chapter 33, when Aaron made a golden calf for the Israelites, there's a verse that he has made them naked before the people. That is what our souls, if it's not saved in Christ, will be. It will be naked before God, and all our sins will be bare. And every detail of our sin will be shown to us, and our doom will be called upon us. So in closing, this is my question to everyone. Are you laying up treasure for this world, or is your treasure in heaven? It's a question you have to think about. It. Have you received the riches of God's grace in Christ Jesus as a guilty sinner? Have you gone to him for his salvation? Have you thrown yourself into the Savior's arms and found forgiveness and peace for your soul? Do you have it? It's a question you have to ask yourself. And if not, the way to Christ is always open. As somebody said, 24/7, you can always come and pray and ask him for his forgiveness and give him your life, and he will direct your path, and that will be pleasing to God. If you have not, you are lost. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ now. If you have not, you are lost. Never deceive yourself. Until you have your soul saved, whatever religion you put across, whatever religion, and let me also add this, any saved person hates sin. Any saved person have repented. People think that you can be saved without repentance, and it's false. God is holy. He said, "I be you holy, for I am holy." What is life of holiness without repentance, without hatred of sin? It's no. So it is, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will come and reprove us of sin and of righteousness, so that we may live our life to please God. But when we think about these things, and if we have also not, think worthy of our soul, let us from today also think of it, and commit our souls to him, who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. May the Lord help us all to think about it. Let's pray.